have people still coming on the line. It's now straight up at the hour, 7 o'clock, and we want to welcome you tonight to the DannyJohnson.com Monday night conference call. It's free and available to you and to your entire sales force. What I want to do, I know there's a lot of guests that are on the call again tonight. Thank God we were able to work out to opening up the lines to where all of you guys can pack out this call to help build your business in any way that you see fit to utilize us and our services. Prior to getting started in this industry, I was a young female. I was 19 years old when I first got started in this industry. I did not know what I was doing, knew nothing about this type of business, and did not think that I could ever succeed in anything, let alone being in business for myself. I was not one of those persons that had big dreams. I didn't have goals, aspirations. I had nothing. My biggest desire was to be a mom and have three kids. I have surpassed that original goal. I'm a mother of five children, and that deserves an award on its own. That's a huge accomplishment, I know, but originally I wanted three kids. I wanted to bake cookies for 4-H, and that was about the extent of my ambition, my drive, my goals, and my dreams. Not to say that that's not a good thing. I think it's a great thing. However, there's so much more that life offers us that we can become something greater if we desire to. And it really all boils down to that. And I got started in this industry, and the first 6 months failed miserably in this business. I couldn't get a customer, couldn't recruit anybody into my sales force, and it just was a horrible experience the first 6 months that I had in this business. Shortly after failing for 6 months, it occurred to me that I needed to learn from people who really knew what they were doing, because my upline at the time did not know what they were doing, and all you have to do is look at the results and say, okay, something needs to change. And my results were exactly the same as my upline's results, so I began to search for some people who could really help me, teach me how to crawl, walk, then run. There were guidelines that were given to me that had to be followed, otherwise our relationship was going to be over, and I was told that I couldn't give any excuses, opinions. If I didn't follow directions, and if I didn't go to a training seminar, then he would not work with me and would not teach me how to really become a professional in this type of a business. And so after getting going with him and learning the ropes and going to this 2-day training seminar, which, by the way, all my expenses included and plus the weekend cost me over $1,500, and I didn't have the money at the time, but I knew I was going to fail if I had not invested into myself. Got that education, came out of that, made $4,000 the first 8 days, brought in 25 business builders in 8 days. The second check was $11,000, third was $15,000, and the fourth was $21,000. Then figured that I needed to get married and start having some babies, did so. As a direct result of marrying this individual, I lost my business that I had built. He drained my bank account, maxed out my credit cards, and left me with a $35,000 debt. Plus, I was 50 pounds overweight, had no job, no income coming in, found myself living on the big island of Hawaii, in the little town of Waikoloa, Hawaii, completely homeless. I mean homeless. No place to live, no place to sleep, no place to shower, no place to store food, no place to get food. And so this was a tragic situation that had happened. I'm $35,000 in debt, 50 pounds overweight, and I had $2.03 left to my name. After whining and crying and moaning and groaning and having a pity party for a couple weeks, the light bulb went on, and I looked at the people that I had surrounded myself with and said, enough is enough. It's time to step up and get out of the rut that I'm in. Bootstrap it, baby. You got to build something. The next day, which was December 26th, started a business from home. Now, mind you that my husband drained my bank account December 1st, became homeless December 13th, and December 26th started a business. From the trunk of my car in a payphone booth, handwritten a flyer, handwrote a phone script, did not know what I was doing, did not know anything about the product that I decided to market, and just by faith stepped out and began to market a product that I didn't have a brochure for, a product that I did not have in my possession, shipped to an address that I did not own for myself, had it shipped to a liquor store, convinced the guy who owned the liquor store to let me use his address to have some items shipped to. Could not even afford a P.O. box, okay? It was tragic, absolutely tragic. And started plunking in quarters because I had a job as a cocktail waitress, following a phone script, and helped 40 people get started on a program in 4 days. and wound up profiting $2,000 in about 10 hours worth of work. After pulling a 12-hour shift on my job, would go home, sleep for a couple hours, get on the phone, not go home, go to the payphone booth up in the little town of Waikoloa, flop in quarters, read a script, ran all over the place collecting checks, turning them into cashier's checks, shipping them to the manufacturer, and just built a business like that with nothing. Now, I don't know what kind of financial situation that you're in. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know where your confidence level is. I don't know where your self-esteem is. I don't know where your business is, whether it's flourishing or it's failing. And it really doesn't matter where that is. What matters is that you come to the very place that I did on the 26th, and you take an account for your life, and you say, okay, something's got to...
The number of participants in the conference has been increased.
Something's got to move. Something's got to improve. And so that's where I came to, and I hope tonight that we can bring you to that place. Because I don't care if you're making $50,000 a month or if you're making $5 a month. If you're stuck and your income is stuck at 5 or 50, something's got to give, something's got to improve, something's got to move. Something has to change in order for that rut to be moved on. And some of us get totally satisfied. I remember getting satisfied with, you know, $50,000 a month, $100,000 a month. We can get that way, and that's fine. Everyone has their level of what they feel is success. But my hope is to help you to continue to grow in a way where you improve every single area of your life. Tonight we're going to be going through some questions. You know, we open up the invitation for people to take advantage of utilizing basically our coaching services for free on this Monday night call. And we ask if you have any questions, go ahead and submit them to us. And we've had some people that have done that. Now, after being homeless for that couple of weeks and starting that little business and making that first $2,000, that then turned into me becoming a millionaire within just 2 years. After being totally, completely homeless, uneducated, no confidence, no nothing, took what I had learned the year before and became a millionaire by the time I was 23. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm great or I did such a great job. I'm saying that God gave me an awesome opportunity, and rather than whining and moaning and complaining about it, decided to step up and do something with what I had been given and build a business. And I know that many of you have had a beautiful business drop on your lap, and some of you aren't sure about the business that's been dropped on your lap. My goal is that you become sure that you next your excuses and you move forward. Now, we have lots of different questions here, so the topics tonight are going to go all over the board. So let's start here first. We've got Jeff and Molly. And this is so cute. I love this statement. Whoever is this gal's upline is very blessed. She says, I love working my warm market. That is so awesome. Some of you guys are drooling thinking, oh, my gosh. Because a lot of people hate working their warm market. A lot of people have excuses when they work their warm market. This gal loves working her warm market. She says, I've got my script for calling internet business leads down to a pat thanks to you, Danny. I love it. It's so much fun. But when those internet enrollments get started, I feel like I'm doing everything I can to help them, except actually get them some money coming in. That's where I'm failing, is what she says. So she says, so what angle, and I know some of you feel that way, you can get them started, but how do you get them to go to work? So what's the angle, what angle do I come to their center of influence with without sounding like a slimy salesman on the phone? I want to help these guys get those initial enrollments so much, but they are all the way across the country from me. What do you do with your internet business partners? In other words, help, she says. Okay, well, Molly, this is an awesome question. And I'm so happy that you've got this part down pat. This is just rad. Now the next step is this. Go to my website. And on that site, there is a CD that, I mean, not a CD, there's a conference call that was done in the past that talked about properly getting people started. This is a very important call to listen to about how to properly get people started in your business. And here's why. Because it basically draws a line in the sand, Molly. For example, if I were to bring you into the business, okay, and all of you guys need to know this and duplicate this because there's I've really been blessed to have some corporate accounts and clients where I'm basically directing an entire sales force. That's part of my job with a couple different situations where I direct an entire sales force. And one of these sales forces that I've just got basically has breastfed. That's a terrible way to say that. But they have basically breastfed all their distributors and have done it for years and years and years, meaning that it's a codependent relationship, and the business will never grow farther than what that leader can handle. And so getting people started on the right foot is very important, because you do not want to be closing your people's people for 5 years from now. This business is about duplication, which means that you train them up, you send them out. You don't train them just enough to where they're constantly feeding off of you. You want to raise them up so they can be sent out and become a battery charger for their own people. And so that's why starting people properly is a very, very important thing to do. And Molly, I don't know where you are in the country. I know you're having some success, but I really hope I get to see you in Tampa, Florida, because I'll be talking about how to properly start people into the business, whether they're coming from the Internet or they're coming from warm market, cold market, across the country, doesn't matter. Getting people started on the right foot is very important. And here's why. Molly, let's say that I'm bringing you involved in the business. Well, if I brought Molly into the business, I can't believe 11 minutes after, people are still coming in. They're feeling like they can get in now. Isn't that great? Okay, so whoever those last few beeps are, hi, welcome. This is how I, here's another one. So with Molly, this is how I would work it. I'd say, okay, Molly, this is the deal. What I need you to do, and let's say this is the first time that Molly got started. She got started on the Internet, or she got started on a conference call, or she got started in my living room. This is what I would say. I'd say, this is what I need you to do tonight. I want you to make me a list of goals and dreams. If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you want to achieve? That's a great question to ask people. If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you want to do? What would you want to achieve? If you knew there was no chance of failing, what level of success would you want to achieve? That's what you want to ask them, okay? Now, after that question, I say, tomorrow night, you and I, you know, what's a good time for you? You and I are going to meet on the phone. We're going to talk about those goals and dreams. We're going to put a plan of action to where you can achieve those. And I need you to assign 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 20 years, whatever it is that you want to achieve, assign a timeline. You know, you can put a date if you'd like. And we're going to talk about that. The other thing I want you to do is I want you to make a list of contacts, business contacts, personal contacts, professional contacts that you have. Just acquaintances, friends, family members, whatever. Just make a contact list, because from that contact list, you're going to wind up with referrals. You're going to wind up networking with some of those people, finding out who they may know that you know, needs our products and services, or may need some additional income, may need a full-time career change, whatever it is. But I need you to make a contact list. Tonight, when we talk tomorrow, we're going to talk about how to strategize with that contact list. So then when I sit them down, and Molly, I don't have time to go through this on the call tonight, but go to the site and you'll find it. And I'm trying to think about when I did it. It was this year. It wasn't last year. And I would basically set up just a few things. In fact, I just wrote this out for one of my clients. As far as corporately, they're sending this whole thing out to their entire distributor field. Now, basically, it would look something like this. We need to book your very first presentation. Now, that very first presentation could be driving people to the website. That booking for the first presentation could be a home presentation inside their home. You call in, give the presentation over the speakerphone. It could very well be a one-on-one presentation or a two-on-one presentation live. It could be that. It could be coming to a meeting in a hotel. Whichever way it is that you promote your business, but we need to book that very first presentation, Molly. So there's lots of ways we can do that. I know you go to work. Maybe at lunch, can you grab somebody from work that we can just practice on? And I would give Molly a couple little tips. And by the way, guys, we're about 3 weeks out before having my script book available that has about, I don't know, 5 to 8 warm market scripts you can use. It has a prospecting script, has a follow-up and closing script. Lots of great tips in it. It's a booklet. It's got CDs that goes with it that's going to help to teach you how to utilize these scripts. This is a booklet you want to hand your brand new people. Or you tell them to go to my site. You need to buy this book and this these CDs to teach you how to work your contact list and how to work cold leads. There's also a script in there on how to talk to people wherever it is that you go, and tells you what to say, how to get the phone number, and all that kind of fun stuff. Definitely a piece that you want to have every brand new person that you get started in their hands, equipping them right now on how to be able to build their business. Anyway, so what you do at that point with Molly, I'd say, you know, just, you know, find somebody at work that we can practice on, and what we'll do is we'll go ahead and I'll show you how to do it. You just take notes. The first presentation, your job is to take notes. My job is to show you how to present it to a living, breathing, live person. And from there, the second time we do this, you're going to do the front half of it. So here's your script. You can download it on such and such web address and start studying that, because you are going to start presenting this week if you want to. If you want to start making money this week, then this is the week that you're going to get off on your own 2 feet and begin it. I'll be right there to do half with you after I do the entire presentation for you. So I'll do the whole first one. The second one, you and I are both going to do together. The third one, you're off and running. I'm sitting there watching, listening, and they're available to answer any questions that you or your prospect may have. From that point on, you're done. You're good to go, and you can go out there and build your business how you see fit. We're always here. You can always have your website. If you don't feel comfortable doing your own presentations, you can bring them to local presentations, take advantage of the conference calls or whatever. But what you're doing, Molly, is you're putting them to work now. What's important is that you make them money within the first 48 to 72 hours. They must make money. And how you do that is getting their contact in front of the presentation. And it's all on how you get them started. That's how you do it. You just don't ambiguously go, okay, now you're in business. Good luck. No, it is. And you also don't breastfeed them. I mean, bottle feed them. None of that. You just say, okay, this is the half you're going to carry. This is the half I'm going to carry. Together, we're going to carry the whole load, and I will be available here to answer any questions and help you out in any way that I can. But this is what I need you to do first, and then I'll do this, and together, we're going to get, you know, some sales for you this week to start building your business so that we can make up your initial investment. Let's just make that the first goal that we pay for that initial investment that you made to get started, whether it's $500, $200, whatever it is. So, Molly, that's the goal, is you put them to work by getting in front of their contacts. Now, you say, now, what angle do you use to influence their center of influence without sounding like a slimy salesperson? Well, they are the initial contact. I don't call other people's contacts unless they fell off the face of the planet and I had their contact names. I would call their contacts at that point and say, hey, you know, I was referred to you by a friend and, you know, use my referral script at that point. So, anyway, that's how I would do it. So don't sound like a slimy salesperson. Make a friend. You know how to do it. Molly, however which way that you've contacted these other people is the exact same way that you're going to contact or make that contact with this third party, which is your brand new person's warm market or your brand new person's lukewarm market or business contact or contact list. You're going to have the same exact personality that you have when you talk to your friends on the phone. You're going to have the same personality that you do when you talk to these other people, that your internet partners. Same way that you got them started is the very same way that you're going to get those other people started. It's not a big deal. First thing you want to do when you get on the phone with a third party like that, let's say you've got your new recruit on the phone, you bring in the new prospect, you want to form them. You want to make them feel comfortable. You want to get them to feel comfortable with you, get them talking about themselves, and guess what happens? Once you do that form, the family, occupation, recreation, and message with them, when you do that, you will find a need. And you say, well, that's odd. That's the reason why we're on the phone. Okay, look, I hear that you're not completely satisfied with your career. I don't know if what we have is going to work for you or not, but basically Cheryl here needed someone to practice on, and so we really appreciate you for taking the time to allow her to practice. She's very excited. She's found a way for her to stay home with the kids by working a little business from home. And so we appreciate your time and you allowing us to do this. We just have some very simple questions to ask you and just kind of go along with it and, you know, let's just see what happens at the end. Casual, nice, friendly, not slimy, not slick, not a salesman. Okay. I hope that answers Molly's questions. Okay, then we have Ricky Neer. She's saying she's new in the area, doesn't know how to approach people. In her old area, she had it very easy building her business through her warm market. She had credibility with them and, you know, it was very easy for her to get customers and distributors. Now she's in a new area. How do I do it? The very same way you built your contact list the first time. And my answer to that next question that Ricky has, but they're new. Exactly. But how did you meet those people initially? You befriended them. That's how. You connected with them. That's how you're going to do it with them. So, you know, Ricky, when you're at the park, which is some of the statement that you had here, or you're at a school function, which is, I'm sure, how you met those other friends in the other town that you came from, you form them. You just pick somebody, and this is what I do, by the way. This is what I do. If I'm in a school-like setting, I'm telling you, my eyes are scanning the place. I am looking for people who have any kind of talent, who have a hip in the step, a glide in the stride, anybody who has lights on in their eyes. That's a mopey, gropey, whining, wimpy, you know, complaining person. No, you're looking for who's heading up the PTA, who is involved with volunteering, who is a go-getter, who has energy, who wants to do something with their life. You can see it in them. Who's smiling? Who's got personality? Who's talking to people? That's you. In fact, thank you, Lord. I just remember the story. When my daughter first went into preschool, we were living in the Bay Area, and And I often was very intimidated. And by the way, I'd already become a millionaire. I was often very intimidated by wealthy people. I was intimidated by great-looking people, intimidated by smart people. Just anybody who looked somewhat perfect, I really was intimidated by them. And so I always had to put on my game face whenever I would go into a public place, because if I didn't have my game face on, man, I just like become part of the wallpaper. And that's the truth. And most of you are like laughing because you don't believe me, but that is the honest to goodness truth, that if I don't have my game face on, meaning that I don't have my uniform on, I don't have my jersey on, then this is what I become. I just become part of the scene, meaning I don't stand out of the crowd. I'm just the crowd. I'm part of the crowd. I'm a sideliner. Naturally, that's who I am. Naturally won't talk to anyone in a social setting. Naturally won't meet anybody. And when someone comes up to meet me, which is almost never, I'm real just like, don't want to talk to you. That's my natural personality. So any social situation, and by the way, this business did that for me, because I was very quiet and shy through high school. I had big chips on my shoulder. I hated people. I didn't like anything about myself. So social settings were terrible for me. And when I got into this business, it was like playing a basketball game, which is the only thing I ever knew how to do. And so you put the jersey on, you put your game face on, and you control the crowd. You control the environment, and you have an agenda, and that's to score. And so that's what some of you guys need to do in social-like settings. It's like, put your jersey on, let's play the game. And so I know that was for somebody, because there's a lot of people out there like that. So in a social setting, for example, Ricky, you're in a school setting. I'm telling you the story of many years ago. Well, I walk on this campus, and I'm telling you, my kids are going to this private Christian school. It's like ridiculous thousands of dollars for them to send them here. I mean, it's just pathetic. The school is just, the high school parking lot is filled with Jags and Mercedes. We're talking the high school students are driving Mercedes and Range Rovers and Hummers and all this kind of stuff. We're talking way ritzy, way money, way not Hans and my style at all. I mean, we are hillbillies. Not really, but sort of. Meaning that's our roots, and so we were very uncomfortable, living in that kind of an area. It just wasn't us. I mean, we'd rather live in a coffee shack in Hawaii. Yes, we've had, million-dollar homes and all that, and have driven ridiculous cars and, have ridiculous jewelry and all that kind of fun stuff, but the reality was is we didn't really fit into that kind of a crowd. It just wasn't us, and I know you can understand where I'm coming from. Just some people, I have a very close friend of mine, does great in that setting. Me, no way. But anyway, so here we are on this campus, and I'm looking around, and it's all the preschool moms, and, oh, hello, how are you? Would you like to go for coffee? That's just so not me. Well, that's them, and that's fine. So what I began to do is every time I drop my daughter off and pick her up, I just had to put my game face on because I was so intimidated by the caliber of people that was in that place. I felt stupid. I felt fat. I felt ugly. I felt broke even though we were making millions of dollars. And so here I beeline, and I look at this gal, and I'm watching her because every time I drop my kids off or pick them up, this is what I saw. She talked to everybody. This girl was a social butterfly. Just where every single day, twice a day that I saw her, she's starting up a conversation with somebody, starting up a conversation with somebody new. And it wasn't the same person. She wasn't a click type person, but she was outgoing. She was funny. She liked relating with people. And holy smokes, man, I thought, okay, I'm going to talk to that girl. And I did. I wound up just kind of going by her and standing there when everyone's quiet waiting for the kids to get out, and then knew she'd start a conversation. I decided to say, hey, what's your name? And started talking to her. And Ricky, I started to form her. Family, occupation, recreation. What do you do? She goes, I own a daycare. Wow, really? I said, that's awesome. How long have you had that? Oh, that's just my first year. Well, how's it going? It's going phenomenal. We're just doing great. We're making great money. We'll be able to remodel our house. Man, that is so wonderful. I said, now do you see yourself doing this forever? She's like, are you crazy? I have 14 kids in my house every day. I said, now do you have any kids of your own? Yeah, I have two. But she took to school 6 kids every single day and got them ready for school. I mean, how sad is that? Parents dropped them off at 6:30 in the morning, and this woman basically was mom for the whole day until 6:30 in the evening, did the homework with the kids, all that stuff. So here she showed a need. No, I do not see myself doing this forever. I like the money, but there's no way my body will be able to keep up with it. I said, really, why do you say that? She goes, oh, every cold that goes around, I get it. Well, I happen to be selling a nutritional product at the time, and I had a business opportunity for it. And I said, it's really interesting that you say that, Lisa. I just can't help but notice you have just this incredible personality, and I could see clearly why your daycare business is so very successful. I'm so happy for you to see that you're an entrepreneur and that you don't want to work for somebody else. He goes, gosh, no, man, I can't handle bosses. I said, that is so cool. That's awesome. Well, what do you see yourself doing, you know, in the future? If you don't want to do the daycare thing for the next 20 years, what do you want to do? She goes, I have no idea. There was a third need. One was she had a physical need. Two was she had a financial need. And three was she had a financial future need. Had no clue what she wanted to do. So then the next time I saw her, knowing I'm going to see her every single day, I just left the conversation at that, came back the next day, and I said, you know what, Lisa? I said, your conversation really has just not left my mind. She's like, really, why? And I said, well, I work with a company that happens to have a few people that they may be looking for. They look for people that are similar to you. You're a self-starter. You're self-motivated. You're an entrepreneur. And the fact that you said that you would love to do something different in the future, I don't know, I just felt compelled to talk to you and say, you might want to look at it. I don't know if even you have all the qualities or the qualifications of the people that my company likes to align themselves with, but at least it's a chance, an opportunity where you could start building some income still while having your daycare to eventually phase out of daycare and having a full-time business, still working home, but not having your two children compete with 12 other kids. And she said, I would love to. I said, okay, well, tomorrow at 3, we pick up our kids. Why don't we meet her at 2? And if that works for you, I can just, you know, kind of go through an interviewing process. We'll take a look at it and see if it fits. She goes, I'd love to. The next day she met me at 2 o'clock. And guess what? She got started. This girl built a huge business, beautiful business that went all over the state of California. How? She had just thousands of dollars in retail sales right from her daycare business right there, signed up several people all over the state, held down a business that was doing over $10,000 a month in volume every single month, making a few thousand dollars a month. She had become number one a couple times, wound up with all the pins, all the recognition, all that kind of stuff. Still to this day, this woman has a business, and this is like 8 years ago. Yeah, wow. Yeah, this is 8 years ago. Okay, so Ricky, just stir up a conversation. And by the way, all of you, because there's a lot of you who have asked that question, like, how do you decide who to talk to? Well, I always beeline for people that look like they've got something going on for themselves, look like they're happy, look like they got light in their eyes, looks like, do you know what I mean? It's not like I'm overlooking all the people who look sad, but the reality is I'm looking for someone who's on top. I'm looking for somebody that's going to take what they already are good at, apply it to this business so they can become great at it. And be able to capitalize on their giftings is what I'm looking for. So that's the answer to this question. It's a long answer, but it's a good one, I believe anyway. So, Ricky, you need to put yourself in social settings, start forming people. As the need comes up, then boom, it's natural to say, really, you're having a hard time with your weight? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And how I'll go from there. You know of a product. I don't know if it's going to work for you or not. Whatever the need is, you know, it's a financial need. Hello, all of us are in a business to help people with a financial need. Okay, so there you go on that one. All right, here's another one. This is from Xiao. Xiao Ling and Jim Dawson. She says, I do advertising online, and when someone fills out the request information form, I contact them and set up a presentation call for them. I recently reviewed a few requested information, and it turned out that they tried to recruit me into their business, or they were just advertiser trying to sell an advertising package. What would you do with these two situations? Would you turn the table around and recruit them? And for the advertising situation, would you say, hey, listen, let me show you what I do, and then I will take a look at what you do? Absolutely, Shell. I would absolutely turn the table on the advertiser and say, you know what? I appreciate you being aggressive and looking at someone who's advertising to try to locate another advertising opportunity, but in order for me to work with you, I would like for you to take a full look at what I do, and after that, we will decide whether or not we're going to work together, because anyone I do business with is going to be a mutually beneficial relationship, not just one way. That's exactly what I would say to that person. So if you're open to that, what time are you available? Are you available tomorrow night at 7 o'clock? Okay, great. I'll have you go through it. Depending on what your response is, we'll determine whether or not we do business together. There you go on that one. Then the second one, actually the first one, was someone trying to recruit her from another opportunity. I would absolutely turn the table on them. And what I would do is I would form them. I would try to get to know them. If they are slimy and sleazy, I would say absolutely don't waste your time, because there's just those kinds of people trying to steal people's sales forces. I absolutely 100% do not approve of something like that, because I've had my sales forces stolen from me. In fact, I had a trainer, a well-known trainer in this industry, steal my entire sales force. So I am absolutely very sensitive to people out there targeting people's sales forces to swipe. I think it's wrong. It's unethical. And all I have to say to those people is, what goes around comes around. That's what I have to say. No matter what, if you do it to somebody, you've got tenfold coming back to you. That's the reality. So if this person is a slimy person, and I ask them, really, how are you building your business? What was your check last month? That's what you want to ask them. What was your check last month? How are you building that income? And then at that point, after they say how they're building that income, and if they say, well, I'm calling downline lists and I'm, you know, recruiting big hitters, you say, I'm not interested in working with you. It's not ethical. Good luck. God bless you. If it's somebody who does not know what they're doing and they are innocently calling you because their upline has built their business in an unethical way, I would say, you know what? I personally don't recommend that you build your business that way. There's plenty of fish out there who are looking for a new opportunity. There's no reason to be calling somebody who's already got one. And if you run into some trouble with your upline who's trying to teach you an unethical way to build the business, then let me give you my name and phone number. Call me when you're ready to find a good, solid, ethical opportunity to work with. Okay, there we go to that one. And there are downline lists that can be purchased, I don't know where, that are companies who've gone out of business. That's free game. That is absolute free game. Genealogy lists that are people who've gone out of business, that's free game. Genealogy lists that of people who are in business, not fair, not right. Okay, here's another one. A lady who asked, by the way, they asked, what do I say in my voicemail to get people to leave their info? I don't know, it's pretty basic. Just make sure you do it with energy. By the way, guys, I've got to tell you this. Those of you who have been with me for a long time, you know that my daughter graduated from high school last week. She graduated a year early, my daughter Christina. If you've heard the CDs, my daughter Christina is with us, and she graduated from high school a year early. She started today working leads. Okay, you ready for this? She got callbacks. So many people go, man, people don't call me back. Christina, man, made a few calls, left a few messages, and got people calling her back within an hour. Had people calling her back. Hi, I'm calling about so-and-so. Hey. Why? And I asked her, I said, what are you doing? She goes, I don't know, I just have energy. And I just say, hi, this is Christina. I'm returning your call. The same exact script that we give you guys. The same exact thing. The difference is she's got energy. And so make sure that you have energy when you leave your voicemail. Let it be professional, but also let it be friendly. And your greeting on there, you know, can say something like, gosh, I don't know. You know, you've reached the office of whoever. Please leave your name, number, and a message. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. Leave your email address if you want to have that kind of information. Thanks so much and have an awesome day. There you go. And if you do not have energy in your voice, then let somebody else leave it for you. We used to do it this way where we have a guy, if there was a guy in the business, we'd have a gal leave a message on hers. Sometimes women's voices can be, beneficial in that way. Some studies prove that. I don't know. Hans leaves our voicemail message. So what difference does it make? Okay, and then here she says, I've tried using a voicemail number that has been given to me. Its area code is from Louisiana, but I live in New Jersey. She's doing advertising in New Jersey. Does it make a difference? Abso-stinking-lutely. Yes, it does. Why? Because people are cheap, and they don't want to call an area code that they're not familiar with. They don't want to make a long-distance phone call. That's why. Yeah, some of you guys are like that, where you don't, oh, it's a long-distance number, forget it. It's kind of more the older mentality mindset of the days of depression and the days of don't make a long-distance call, I can't talk long because I'm on long-distance. Today, things are different. There's all those wonderful plans out there that are $50 a month, unlimited, you know, long distance or whatever. That's what we're on. And there's tons of them out there. There's absolutely tons of them out there to choose from. So fortunately, the mindset's changing a little bit. But, yes, it does make a difference. People don't like to call an area code that they think is long distance. That's the vast majority. Our country is changing, but there you go. The younger people don't care. They waste money all the time. Okay, then here's another question from Joshua and Christina Earl. What is the absolute fastest way to build your business? I love that question, and your upline is blessed to have you. And they introduced the business through in-homes, conference calls, webcast presentations, ta-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, the absolute fastest way to build your business is absolute all-out massive action. We're talking turning over 30, 40 people a day, pushing people through, not pushing is a bad word, driving people to the presentation and training system. That's what you're doing. You're driving people to the presentation and training system, and that's it. So, for example, if I were to talk to 30, 40, 50 people today, the whole goal with those people that I'm talking to today is have them going through a presentation system. Out of that presentation system, let's say I talk to 50 people today. If I talk to 50 people today, and that's a full-time worker, by the way, that's not somebody who's necessarily part-time, although there are some part-timers who can talk to 50 people a day. You drive them to that presentation system. Well, out of that 50, you know, let's say 25 of them wind up going through your presentation system. Out of that 25, then after the presentation system, they're going through the training system, you might wind up with 10. You might not wind up with one. I don't know what your numbers are. I will tell you this, in the beginning, you're going to go through a whole lot more numbers than you will towards the latter part of your career, and the reason is you get better at it. Your skill increases. As your skill increases, you have to work less numbers. So you wind up with less. After you talk to this initial context, you have less that go through the presentation, less of those wind up going through the training system. You need to figure out what your numbers are, and that's how you can determine how fast you can build it. Because then you'll know, okay, well, I'm getting one person started a day. That's, you know, five people or six people a week. You know, that's 20, 30 people a month. That's how you can figure out those numbers. So quickest way is all-out massive action. And I mean all-out massive action. There's a lot of shortcuts that can be taken. DannyJohnson.com is a gigantic shortcut for people. We have just thousands of people using that site on a weekly basis. Who have used it as a monster shortcut. In fact, there's seven or eight leaders on this call right now. We have seven leaders, meaning people earning six figures a year, coming to the seminar this weekend. Why? Because it's saving them time, and time is money. Why are they coming? They're bringing people with them because they're basically leveraging their time with me. They're using me. I'm kidding. No, they're using the services that we supply. So, Joshua and Christina, what you want to do is talk to a ton of people every single day. Drive them to your presentation. I'd be doing presentations weekly in your home. I would do it Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Presentation in your home, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday. You could even do daily. I don't know how old your kids are or if they're at school or not. Actually, it's summertime, so forget that idea. Find a sitter and put, or, you know, family member who will watch them certain times and do presentations every single day if you're going to be building it fast and if you're doing it full-time. Every single day you could be doing live presentations if that's the way you're building your business, which it says it is. You do in-home meetings. As soon as you get that person started, you're at their home in front of their friends, that first meeting, and do that within 48 hours. As the schedule permits, within 48 hours, you're in their home doing a meeting for them. Telling them get some people to practice on. And the next day, you got another presentation in your house. You're looking for one person to go to their home to do a meeting for them. The next day, now it's Wednesday, you're doing a presentation, going into that person's home, doing a meeting for them. So that's really a quick way to build it. If you've got a lot of presentations scheduled, then you have to schedule a lot of people for those presentations. Here's another one. Oh, no, no, no. I already answered that one before. Okay, so that's out. She says, my group has access to a list of names that we plan to mail information to about our company's health product. What should we say to these people when the incoming calls begin? That's a great question, Rhonda, and here's a cute little shift in your brain. You can say almost the exact same thing that you do when you're making outbound calls. I would answer the phone, say, hi, this is Danny, how can I help you? And they're going to say, hi, I'm calling about the flyer that you have. And you'll say, okay, great. What I need to do is just ask you a couple real simple questions, let you do the same. We'll figure out how we can help you. Go straight to the script. And say, okay, what's your name? My name is Steve. Great, Steve, nice to meet you on the phone. How are you doing? Good. What's your number, Steve? Okay, take the number. With authority, what's your number, Steve? Okay, and your email address? Get the email address. Get all the contact information. Okay, and your address so that I can mail you out some information. Get the address. You want his complete information to be in a great contact manager, and you want all the info that you can get how to get a hold of him. Why? Future mailings. Okay, and then you say, okay, well, what can I do for you? What questions do you have right off the bat just from the advertisement that you just saw? And boom, go straight into the script that we have available for you. Okay, that's how you do that. Incoming calls. Then it says, then we have a lady who, she says, I realize that building my business is going to take time, effort, and focus. How can I build successful business without compromising God's plan for my life? You need to read the book, God at Work. It's amazing how many of those questions that we get. You need to read the book, God at Work, because there is no walls between your ministry, serving Him, and building your business. There are no walls. The only walls that are there are what man has put up and man's ideals between ministry, work, and your walk with Him. Those are all man-made. I've read the Bible straight through twice. There ain't no walls in that book. Okay. Oh, this is so sad. This is from a lady named Michelle. I won't give her last name. She says, I lost my upline and downline. She said she had over 100 in her downline, which, by the way, is I want you guys to change that word to Salesforce. No one wants to be under anyone, and no one wants to be in anybody's downline. I had over 100 people in my Salesforce and only one that didn't quit in July of 2003 to another deal. See, all the reason why. And I feel for you, girl. I feel for you. After doing a lot of soul searching and praying, I decided to suck it up and start fresh as of January of this year and start rebuilding my team. Her questions are this. I do have a few great people that give me limited support, but it's not the same as having an upline or a sales force to keep me going. I also have a negative husband who doesn't believe in network marketing and no other friends for a positive support system. What would you recommend? Okay. What I would recommend is get your butt to a seminar. You need to get first steps as soon as possible. Why? Well, there's a lot that happens. People really do step up and step out of their current situations at first steps to success, like in Tampa this weekend. People will step out of their limitations. They will step out of the beliefs that are hindering them. They will step out of bad habits, and they will step into new habits that will make them a profit. So do you need anybody? Is your success, Michelle, dependent on your upline? The answer is no. Is your success determined by who is in your sales force? The answer is no. Is your success determined by your husband? The answer is no. Is your success determined by the support that you have from other people? The answer is no. Unless, if your answer is yes to all those questions, then you are merely a puppet and a pawn in a chess game. So you have to decide, am I going to be the product of my environment, or am I going to create my environment? So, your husband doesn't support you. I can tell you how to fix that. A lot of cases, what happens with unsupportive spouses is this. They feel intimidated by this new focus, excitement, and zeal for life because of a new business, and they want you to feel that way about them. And so there's like a jealousy thing that happens with spouses. Very often, that's what happens. The other thing is that the wife or the husband who started this business wound up totally leaving behind their family. I've seen a lot of marriages destroyed because of it, because of a lack of understanding about boundaries and prioritizing their time and keeping their priorities straight. So with an unsupportive spouse, if, for example, this is a woman, if you showed him that he is in the position that he truly is, meaning that you love him more than you love that business, that you love him more than you love your children, because that's the way it's supposed to be. That's exactly how the priorities are supposed to be, and you love God first. That you're supposed to show him physically, verbally, that and emotionally, that nothing comes before you and him. He could be intimidated, threatened, and jealous about this opportunity that you have. Why? Because you're more excited about that than you are him. That's why. Some of our husbands can be jerks, and that's, you know, hello, it's a challenge to love him more than this exciting business that you're in. But the reality is that if you honor him, he will honor you. We reap what we sow. And so if you're sowing honor and encouragement into your spouse, you will reap honor and encouragement from him. So if your spouse is negative and nagging, chances are you've been negative and nagging also during some course of your marriage. So give him the honor and respect that he deserves as being the head of the household, and I promise you that the tides will turn and he will begin to support you. Another thing is to sit down with the unsupportive spouse and say, what have I done to you. I know I must have hurt you. I know I must have nagged at you. I know I must have said some very discouraging things to you, and I want to know what it is so that I can apologize and make things right between you and me. And you say, nothing. No, you've done nothing. No, I know for a fact it is, because I know how badly it hurts to be treated that way. So I want to do whatever I can to make things right with you. Why? I just do. I need to make things right with you. So can you please tell me what it is? And he may tell you, and guess what, you may find out that you have done the very same things that he is doing, because people react, and that's the reality. And come to Tampa, and I promise you we're going to fix the reacting thing and get you to act instead of react. So don't react to your spouse. You want to respond and say, okay, this is the way he's treating me. What have I done one thing to deserve it? And there are just some of those spouses out there that are just whacked, okay? They're whacked out. They treat people bad because that's the core of who they are. And the core of who they are is because of a lot of pain and suffering and a gigantic ego and a lot of pride. So that's a whole other issue. That's some serious issues. That's a serious marriage counseling issue. I'm not here to counsel anybody's marriage. But the reality is that if you sow encouragement and support into him and find ways that you can support things that he's excited about, I promise he will then lay off your back. And also, you can't look at the past. You can only learn from the past. You cannot repeat the past. You cannot fix the past. All you can do is say, okay, what did I learn from this situation? And move on. If you lost your sales force, you lost your sales force. Bury that puppy and move on. This is a new business. It's a new day. It's a new life. And you cannot treat it as though it's not, because it is. Okay, it's almost time to quit. And thank God I looked at the clock, because I was just totally losing my head here. Okay, the next question is from Duncan. With an MLM company that has been around for many years, let's say he gave me two oldies but goodies, can a new person join and become a top earner in that company without bringing a downline from another group with him or her? You know what? Absolutely. The company, when I was homeless, that I started with was a 10-year-old company. They were already doing a couple $1 billion a year in sales. Their top income earners were already millionaires. There were many millionaires in the company. They were several hundred thousand people strong. I was a nobody, came out of nowhere, and built a six-figure income my very first year. It made $250,000 my very first year in that business. So my answer is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Do not look for a reason why it's not going to work. You want to look for a reason why. Don't look for a reason why not it's going to work. You want to look for a reason why. And so it doesn't matter if it's a new company or an old company. I've succeeded in both, and so it really doesn't matter. It honestly does not matter. Get that thought out of your head. Okay, here's another one. She says, a very high percentage of BizOp leads I call don't have ways of payment. The answer is next. Listen, if they don't have a credit card, they don't have a checking account, something went wrong along the way. The main thing is if they don't have a desire to come up with the cash to build a business, you do not have a desire to work with them. Do you understand? Next. She says, most BizOp leads I purchase are very new to the industry. Network marketing is sometimes a confusing concept to grab for them. Listen, you don't need to explain that industry to them. Just recite that business opportunity that your company has given you. That's all you need to do. You do not need to figure out how to explain network marketing because they're new. Ooh, this brings me to a whole other topic. Listen, guys, whatever presentation it is that your company has given you to present, don't reinvent the wheel. Stick to it. If your company has done millions of dollars, chances are the presentation's working. What makes any of us think that we can come up with something different that's not going to work? It's not going to work. So the important thing is don't go, well, this doesn't really explain network marketing. Don't even think like that. The presentation does its job. The presentation does the job. They've answered a business opportunity advertisement. You are presenting a business opportunity. Don't you dare try to explain network marketing, direct sales, word of mouth market. Don't go there. Just stick to the presentation script. Don't add to it. Don't subtract to it. Just stick to it. Very few presentation scripts out there would I change, but don't go there. Okay, I'm going to open up the line for the last 10 minutes of the call to answer any questions that you guys may have that are on the phone. Since you've been patiently waiting through other people's questions, I'm going to go ahead and open it up and let some of you guys ask questions. Okay, before I do that, guys, you know what we got coming up. I can't wait to meet my team. I can't wait to see you guys. I can't wait to see returning students coming back. I know there's a ton of you returning. I know there's a ton of you coming for the very first time. I can't wait to meet all of you that have been so faithful on these calls week after week. I know a common question I want to answer real quick is, you know, what's the difference between the CDs from North Carolina, that's First Steps to Success, and the live version? Well, let me tell you this. The reality is this. Every single First Step seminar is different. We have people who've come to 90 of the training seminars that I've done through the years. When I only had exclusive to my own sales forces, we've only opened these seminars this past year. And the reality is there's been no First Steps that's been the same. In fact, my students who've come to 90 of them still take notes every single time and learn great and exciting things every single time they come. They're not hearing the same presentation. So that First Step seminar that was recorded and put on the North Carolina CDs that are available on my site, that was just customized to that group. And that group were actually newbies. They were brand new in the business, didn't have any experience at all in network marketing. There's a couple leaders in the room, but the majority of the room were brand newbies. They were rookies. And so that is very basic. The seminar that we did the weekend after was completely different. There's only one section that is the same every single seminar. After that, there is nothing that is the same. Why? Because the crowd directs the content. When you register for that seminar coming to Tampa, for example, you're required to ask a question. We completely design the entire workshop based on what the questions are of the people in the room. Why? Why am I going to give you some standard bogus presentation that doesn't fit you guys? I'm here to serve you and your business. And I don't want to just do a crapshoot and hope I, you know, hit the bullseye. No, I want to know that every person that's there gets their question answered completely. And so that's why every single seminar is completely different. Completely different. And so that is to answer that question. Also, if you guys want coaching, go to the site. I do one-on-one coaching. We coach on a weekly basis. I coach executives that are running multi-million-dollar corporations all the way to the rookies first, you know, just getting started, housewives that don't know, you know, how to build their business. And so the coaching is a wide variety of experience that we have in that area to help solidify your business, help to target it, help to get it more profitable, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know what level it is that you're at in your business, but we coach people who make, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 a month. Actually, a couple of clients that make $400,000 a month, all the way to people just new getting started. So wherever you fit in is fine. And we do have a couple seats left for the Tampa seminar. Can't wait to see you guys. Let's open up the lines. Okay, we are live. If you guys have any kind of background noise at all, if you can press star 6, that would be ideal.
The number of participants in the conference is 162.
Background noise like, you know, washing machines, toilets, whatever, kids screaming. We don't want to hear you discipline your child. So if the kid is in the room, star 6 it. If your TV is on, star 6 it. And if you have pressed star 6, you've muted out yourself, and I will not be able to hear you if you have a question. So you'd have to press star 6 again for me to hear any of your questions. So let's open the floor. The first person that jumps out says their name and where they're calling from. I'll take you.
This is Corey from Virginia. I have a question.
Go ahead, Corey from Virginia. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Being new in this business, how do you get, like, for you just to say this person's not coachable next, how can you do that when you don't have many leads and you have a small amount of investment money to begin? Because
okay.
You start making money in order to invest money.
Okay, Corey, that's a really good question. Now, the thing is that when you've got somebody that's unteachable or negative, you know how you can kind of feel it on the phone right away?
Right. Right.
Okay. Corey, you don't want to waste your time with those people.
Got that.
Okay? So I know that you have very little resources to start your business with, but the reality is do you want to waste an hour on somebody trying to convince them to do something that they're not going to do anyway, and they're going to be a real pain in your butt?
Right.
So that's, to me, that's a 15-second no, and that's like, thank you very much. On to the next person. So this is what you have to do. If you have limited resources, then what you have to figure out is this. And I appreciate your attitude about this because you're looking for answers on how to grow your business and saying, well, I don't have any money, or I don't have enough money to invest in a lead, you know, I guess I can't do this. That's not your attitude, which is absolutely awesome. You'd write that down that, hey, I've got a good attitude, I've got the right mindset to be able to build my business because I'm looking for solutions and not just whining about the problem.
Right.
So the other is that you have to figure out other cost-effective ways to be able to build your business. Now, warm market and lukewarm market is absolutely free.
Mm-hmm.
That costs you not one red cent.
Right.
Flyers are like, hello, next to free. It's the cost of the paper. All right, that's next to free. Now, we used to do flyers on cars if you live in a big city. You know, we'd do 1,000 flyers a day, get 50 calls maybe out of 1,000 flyers a day that we would do. And this is a long time ago. We haven't done that in a long time. I remember one time I put a hot pink flyer on a white Mercedes, and I got a call from the guy saying, are you going to repaint my car? That was not a good day. And it was in the summer and it rained. I wasn't supposed to do that. But there are flyers that can be done. You can do pull tab flyers. You can do little tiny flyers. You know, some people get upset about flyers. You know, you don't know until you go out there and try to make it happen. Some very inexpensive advertising that you can do in cheap little tiny papers around the country. Send them to a voicemail. Call those people back. You just have to search out very inexpensive ways to do it. Here's the other thing, Corey. We get out what we pay. That's the reality. So there's lots of different leads out there. There's, you know, you could get 3-cent leads that are, you're going to burn through a lot of people and wind up with very little results. And then there's leads that you can pay, you know, $2 for, and those leads are worth their weight in gold because those people are ready to get started into something. Now it's just a matter of getting them into your thing. So I would practice on your warm market. I'd practice on meeting people like I talked about earlier in the call. I hope that you got some good information out of that. And build up your contact list on the low-budget way of doing it until you can make some money and then eventually pour into some advertising. And by the way, practicing on warm and lukewarm market is a great way to go because you're getting the experience for when you finally can afford some good quality leads, then guess what? You know what you're doing.
I'll be there for a little second.
Okay, anybody else with a question or a comment?
Robert from Minnesota.
Okay, I've got Robert from Minnesota, and then there was one more gentleman. Who was the other gentleman that spoke out?
I think he was just asking a question, Danny.
Robert, is this you?
Yes, from Minnesota,
okay,
yes.
Robert from Minnesota, what can I do from you?
I've been in and out of the industry for about 10 years. One of the strongest things that's really helped me is mindset and self-empowerment, self-development. How do you explain or teach people to focus? That's part of building the business as well, and that's equally as important. How do you instill that in somebody?
Well, Robert, the reality is that hungry people and teachable people are going to do what you tell them to do. And so that, by the way, Robert, that's how I built my business.
What?
How I built my business was by empowering people, helping them to focus, helping them to have the right mindset and authority, body language, all that stuff. That's how I equipped my sales force, and that's why I'm currently equipping this team that is on this call and through our training seminars. So the thing that I learned early on was is that without those ingredients, Robert, they're dead in the water. They go absolutely nowhere. They do absolutely nothing. Which means that you have to go through a ton of people to find one person that wants to work the business. And so I learned that initially. I mean, right away, and I was like, well, this is stupid. Getting people started to do nothing is just dumb. And the reason why people do nothing with the business, Robert, is because they got baggage from the past. It's because they don't believe in themselves. They don't believe in the business. They don't believe they can do it. And they got all this mental baggage that lets them buy their excuses instead of finding results. And so what we would do is that we immediately put them through the training system. And that training system got them over their excuses, confronted their issues, confronted their doubt, confronted their small mentality mindset, and challenged them to think about, hey, what else better do you have going on? Where are you going to go if you don't go here? You have to make this work. And so that's what we did with our training seminars, and that's how I built my business, is that every single month I taught my distributors to fill this room and let me do what I'm good at, which is get people out of their excuses and get them into action mode. Once people cross over, for example, here's a prime example. I could tell you stories for hours on this one, but we don't have hours. The reality is that I would have my people bring people, and when those people showed up at that training seminar, Robert, they were filled with doubt. They didn't think this was going to work. They didn't want to work it, and they had no money. By the time they spent the 2 days with us, they all of a sudden had money. I don't know where it came from, because on Friday they had none, But all I know is on Sunday night, they whip out a credit card for $4,000 or $5,000 to build a huge business. All of a sudden, I don't have any money for advertising. All of a sudden, that excuse left the window. Why? Because it's all about this. If you believe it's going to work and you know you're going to be committed to build it, there's no amount of money that you aren't able to find to be able to build it. It's either results or excuses, and that's it. So my secret for getting people there was putting them in front of, like, Tampa this weekend. That's all I did all month long is recruit people and put them through that two-day seminar. After that, they didn't need me anymore. They went out and they ran their business. They drove their own sales forces and they built that thing. So, Robert, I can tell that you've had challenges in the past with getting people to do something.
Excellent. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
And that's how we did it. And so that's where, like, my website is available for you to be able to use that, because any one of the calls that those people get on, guess what? They're going to get over it. Just hearing my story seemed to inspire a few people, you know, that this broke cocktail waitress is able to do it. Then what's the rest of the people's problem if they can't? So, anyway, guys, it's 8 o'clock. It's time to conclude the call. I just really want to thank you for your time. I hope tonight was at all just a little bit helpful. Obviously, it's a free call, so you get what you pay for. Hopefully, you've been able to glean just a little bit of help or wisdom or knowledge or understanding about your business. So God bless you guys. I can't wait to see those of you that are coming to Tampa. Those of you that are not, I hope to see you soon. And you guys have an awesome week. Have an awesome month, and we'll be here next Monday, same place, same time. Pack it out with your people and let us help build your business with you and let us help you raise your closing ratios and make more money. Talk to you soon, and God bless. Everybody say good night and God bless.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.